Today is session 13 for the Identify Your Ideal Career Path coaching group. It is June 4th. And so far, I know we have Paul and Latoya on the call, and we'll see who else is here in just a second. Today's call is about the personality portion of the model. So last week we started, or the couple weeks ago, we started on the HOTS assessment and MAP assessment, and we're going to finish up the personality portion. And if we have time, we will start on the culture and environment portion of the model. We'll just see how far we get here today, okay? So who else has joined us that has not yet checked in with me?
Angie.
Hi, Angie.
Hello.
Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. How are you? Anybody else?
Michael.
Hi, Michael. Kelly or Alexandra, are you guys here? Okay, so those are our missing people. I don't know if Alexandra is still on vacation or not, hiking in the mountains, wherever she is. All right, so Latoya, it's nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Anything you want to say about your experience?
I really enjoy, I'm enjoying my new job. The only adjustment that I'm struggling with, but I'm getting better at, is there is no structure with you have to, because I'm also doing a little bit working from home.
Okay.
So there's no structure of, oh, you need to be on at 8 o'clock and off at 5. It's get your 8 hours in within the day. So I'm getting used to that because since I've been working at the age of 15, it's you clock in at 8, you leave out at 5:30, your lunch hour is this long, and so that's what I'm getting used to now.
Okay, so you have to create your own schedule.
Yes.
It sounds kind of nice, and that's what I do, and I love it, but I understand that it's an adjustment too.
Yes.
So congratulations. Do you feel like this job is a better fit, a good interim position for you?
Yes, I do.
Good. Congratulations. That's awesome. And just so everybody knows, because I think I got it wrong, what exactly are you doing?
I am doing medical coding, where I will be traveling to different doctor's offices as well as working from home. Just going through patients' charts, Medicare Advantage patients' charts, and pulling out specific codes that Medicare deems as HCC codes.
Okay.
So I'll just be looking up diagnosis codes throughout a patient's chart sometime.
Okay, and then preparing reports and sending them on.
Well, I don't have to prepare any reports. Just whatever diagnosis codes that I find within that patient's charts, I just plug it into a software system and send it off, and that's
cool.
It.
Cool. Good. Good. Well, congratulations. I'm very happy for you because I know how unhappy you were at your previous job.
Yes.
And
but
I think
wilderness.
I think this is a lot better and more stable as well than teaching, which is what, you know, you were thinking about before, substitute teaching.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy for you. Awesome.
Thanks.
Does anybody have any questions or comments for Latoya?
What were you doing beforehand? I don't remember.
Beforehand, I was just creating a test scenario, test claim scenarios, and just plugging in information into a database, and it was just the same thing day in, day out. It was mostly that work environment that I was in.
Okay. And Latoya, you, to do this, what you're doing now, you were trained in this before?
Yes, I got a certificate last year, but I didn't do anything with it.
Ah, okay. So I wanted to point that out because it's similar to the idea of the transferable skills that, you know, we have talked about, that this is something Latoya did a long time ago but just never did anything about. And it can be the same thing with, you know, projects that you worked on or education or whatever. I just got off the phone with a client before this who she knows she wants to be, it's an IT sales engineer. And she considered this career path a few years ago, but assumed that the job description was, you know, it involved a lot of sales. And now that we have worked together and she's identified, you know, what is really going to be a good fit for her, she looked into this, you know, line of work again, this idea, and it's perfect for her. It doesn't involve sales at all. So I just want you guys to know that, like, ideas that you have had in the past, There's usually something valid there. It doesn't mean that that is necessarily the thing that you should be doing, but there's usually something to it. So always think about that and consider it, okay? Because I see this happen a lot with people. Thanks, LaToya.
You're welcome.
All right. I did hear one more beep. Did someone else join?
It's Alexandra.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
Did you have a good trip?
I had a great trip.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
Post some stuff on Facebook for us, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got lots of pictures.
Okay, good. And hopefully you took a shower by now, right?
Oh, yes. Many, many showers.
Good. I'm glad you had fun. That's awesome. All right, so let's go into, here's what we're going to do today. Let's talk about successes, learnings, and challenges like we always do. The next thing is that we need to finish the owl and turtle personality types. Those were the two that we did not get to last time, and discuss, you know, job ideas with those two. Also look at the MAP assessment and what you guys got in terms of your results from there. And finally, based on your results from the HOTS survey, I don't know why they call it, well, I do know why, the HOTS survey. It's so queer. I don't like that name, but... The HOT survey and the MAP assessment, what does this then mean for your careers to consider? What, you know, additional career ideas do you have? That kind of thing. So that's where we're going today. And if we do have time to get to the culture and environment, we will. Otherwise, we can do that next time. All right, so successes and learnings or challenges. So actually, let's start with successes and learnings. Anybody have any aha moments, anything to share? Like, Paul, I know you do. And Angie, when is your career fair?
It's actually yesterday.
It was yesterday. Okay. So, Paul, tell us your thing real quick.
Well, I'm just had a phone interview last week, and I'm supposed to hear back from them this week. It's for a large national bank, and the position's actually up in Michigan, which is where I'm from. And it seems like there are more banks just the last couple of weeks, it seems like more banks are hiring than what they have been. So I have my name in with quite a few places, and we'll see what happens here.
Paul, how are you making that assessment? Based on job boards?
I subscribe to job alerts through Indeed.
Okay.
And I use certain keywords. So I have, like, commercial lender is a keyword or keywords that I use, and every day I get an update. Any job posting anywhere in the country that has the words commercial lender in their job posting, I get notified.
And this is through Indeed.com, that website, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it'll pull all over the country. So every day I get an email alert. These are the jobs and where they're located, and it's just a really efficient way of saving time.
Yeah, I like that. I did not know Indeed did that. That site has been a work in progress for a few years, and it's gotten a lot better. So this is good for all of you guys to know about that website, Indeed.com. Thanks, Paul. Any comments or questions for Paul?
Didn't Paul want to be a teacher last week?
I do. What my plan is I need to find immediate work in the short term. And then what I plan on doing is in the evenings, especially if I go back to Michigan, I probably would have to get a master's degree if I want to teach. So I'll go back to school in the evenings to do that. But in the short term, the most efficient route for me to get working again is to find another position in banking.
Which was your background.
I definitely would prefer to be a teacher, without a doubt.
Was that Stacy who asked?
You didn't give up.
No.
Good. I'm telling you, Stacy, you could be the co-coach here. You're always calling people out on Gremlins and stuff. I love it. Yeah, so, Paul, for you, it's like this is the interim thing, and you're making your long-term plan.
Correct.
Okay, good. So yay that you didn't give up. And good for you, Stacy, for calling it out. All right. So you guys keep in mind Indeed.com is a good resource for you. Any other questions or comments for Paul? Okay, do you guys hear an echo?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just keep talking and see. Okay, I think it went away. Okay, Angie, how about you? You willing to share what happened?
Sure. It was the career fair was yesterday, and it was the first career fair I've attended, so it was a little intimidating, but it was easier than I thought, and I had identified the employers that I thought might have some potential and be a good fit, and I was able to talk to someone with each of those and eliminate a couple. But I think I made some good contacts in both government and healthcare.
Good. And so say again, you were able to eliminate a few of your career ideas?
Eliminate a few of the employers,
okay.
Some that I thought might have some potential, but just meeting them and talking to them about their company culture and the kind of job that they had open, I could tell that, you know, that wouldn't really be feasible for me.
Good. And how did you know that? Were you thinking about your, I mean, what was the biggest thing here, your must-have list, your values?
I think because I have food industry and education experience, I feel like I try to keep those open to those ideas. But the two outlets, I just could tell that, you know, my interests have changed since then, and it would feel like a step backwards.
Got it. Okay. So you were able to clarify that. Good. Any questions or comments for Angie?
I got a question. Did she think that overall career fair that Georgia put on yesterday was good?
It was the first one I've attended, and because I have specifically thought about government, there were four agencies represented, so it gave me a chance to talk to someone face-to-face. There were other sectors that, you know, I probably couldn't speak to. It seemed like there were a lot of financial services there, but I didn't talk to any of those. Did you happen to attend it yesterday?
Yeah, that's why I was asking, because I walked in there and, you know, most everybody, I didn't talk to the government side because I wasn't necessarily interested in that. Mm-hmm. But I know pretty much the spiel from all the financial advisors, they're looking for basically sales reps.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You know, those financial advisors. So I was, to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed. But if I was more gearing towards the governmental side, it was, I would say they had about, you know, four good ones there.
A lot better. Okay. Yeah, these can be, career fairs are always good to try because you never know what's going to come up. But it can be, it can be hit or miss based on an industry. And what your interests are, because there a lot of times they'll be heavy in one area and not as much in another one. So I think it's always worth trying, especially because you get to talk to somebody, you know, live about what it's like to work there and get a sense of, you know, what that person is like and what the company might be like.
Well, the question, one of my big things is because I talked to one of the marketing groups there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad because, you know, in this day and age, those places are packed because people need jobs,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, there's a line at every one of the organizations. I felt bad once, you know, I found that, you know, the job that they were offering, that they were looking for, wasn't a fit with me to keep on carrying on a conversation with the girl about, you know,
yeah.
You guys started asking questions, how would you suggest, because I gave her the outline of me going into event production,
right,
and promotions, and I do have to email her back because she did offer me some good suggestions on, like, you know, her maybe one of her managers could, you know, help, you know, point me in the right direction. But I feel bad because since I do currently have a job and I see about 10 folks standing in line behind me, I feel bad, like, okay, I need to move on now.
I know. Well, so, Michael, speed it up. So get what you need, and you can say, this is great. Thanks so much. I don't think that this type of position is the exact fit for me, but I appreciate your time. You know, I mean, just you can be honest and move on.
Yeah, because that's what I did, but I'm like, well, I could ask more questions, but these folks are really looking for a job.
Yeah, and if it's not what you want to be in, it's not worth your time either, you know? So it's good to be pick and choose.
But we'll see if the lady actually remembers me, because it was funny because we started talking about me wanting to put the venue in Raleigh, and she's like, you know, why Raleigh and blah, blah, blah. So hopefully maybe, you know, she might be able to help.
Yeah, with networking. Okay, good. Yeah, I think that's good. So you never know what you're going to get out of this. With any networking event, career fair, anything else, remember that, yeah, one of the reasons you might be going is to find an open position or a job, but there's lots of other things that can happen. And so I like to suggest to people when they go to these things, don't assume that you're going to get business or, you know, a job out of it. Be open to what you're going to come away with, because you never know. It could be a name for something else completely, you know, different. Okay, so good work, you guys, go into that. And, Paul, let us know how it goes with your application. I wanted to say something before I forget, that I've noticed something, the importance of networking in the past few weeks, that how many jobs out there are actually not even advertised. And I've got two examples. So my husband is going on a second interview today for a job that wasn't advertised and probably never would be, because they're just passing their work to someone else in their Charlotte office. So it's an architecture firm here in town. And he found out that they needed help from one of our family members, from my uncle. And then I was talking to a client yesterday, and one of his peers at another engineering firm, he's in D.C., this guy knows about two possible opportunities. One is there's a company that he knows of, and one of their, I think it's their salespeople or engineers, isn't doing well at his job, and they want to lay him off, but they don't want to do it until they find somebody else. So they're not advertising the position, they're just trying to find someone through their network of people. So, you know, from this guy is going to tell his friend about my client and see if he can get in there for an interview. And this same person also knows about another company that's gotten a lot of government engineering contracts lately, and they're growing, and they're going to need people very soon, so he's going to give, you know, my client's name to those people as well. So it really struck me with these two stories in particular how networking is so important, because there are so many jobs or opportunities out there, and they're not advertised, or that are not advertised for whatever reason, because they can't, because they don't have time, whatever it is. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
I think that networking is something that most people don't like to do very much. I mean, it's not my favorite thing to do. But these two examples, it really reiterates how important this is, how important talking to people is, because you don't know what you're going to find out. Any comments or questions on that?
I have one real quick, like along with, because I've been reading this book on networking.
Uh-huh.
By the name Ricky Steele. It talks about volunteering, you know, during your down periods, or if you're not to where you need to, you know, volunteering. So I've started looking into areas around where I can volunteer, and one that I chose is Habitat for Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a unique way to ease the networking. If you have a fear for networking, allow you to find a volunteer organization where you're doing a good cause, but it might come easier for you to chit-chat with people at like a work,
right,
you know, day or something like that, or maybe a food drive or something like that.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be within your industry either. It's just a way to meet more people.
Because I always get, like, you know, a little shy when it comes to networking.
Yeah, I'm shocked, Michael. I don't believe that for a second.
It does happen.
Okay, the rare occasion. All right, thank you for that. That's awesome, because it's true. I think there's easier ways to do this than just going to an event saying, here's my card, you know, passing cards back and forth, because I think that can be kind of awkward and feel forced. All right. So any other successes or learnings? And let's go into challenges now, too. Anybody having any challenges, questions they need answered?
Well, this is Stacy. I did my first informative interview because that was something I was really needing to do. And I think I have, like, two more lined up for next week. So
woo!
A girl that works at a nonprofit, kind of like their online marketer, and the other people work in international marketing. So
nice.
See where that goes. But the nonprofit one was really good. It was actually a friend of mine, and I was just contacting her to figure out if she had any contacts that I could talk to. But then as I was writing the email to her, I realized that what she does is the person I need to talk to, and I might start doing some volunteer work with them, so I can get my hands on with some online marketing campaigns, something I could add to my resume.
Oh, that's great, Stacy. I love it. Congratulations. Good for you. Okay, so informational interviews have been helpful from what you said, right?
Yeah.
And then the volunteering is another thing to get some experience. Very cool.
Yeah. And something else that was kind of an interesting pool, because I didn't know anybody that worked in international marketing. I went to the UGA alumni directory online, and it's just whoever registered on there, and I just kind of searched who works in global marketing, and, you know, there's maybe like 10 people that came up, and I just emailed them all, and two people replied. But just looking at their profiles and the companies that they worked for, it kind of opened up a lot of different ideas of companies that have an international marketing department.
Good.
So I thought that was really cool, too.
That is cool. It helped you kind of think bigger picture or out of the box a little bit more.
Yeah, or just because I was kind of worried that if you go into international marketing, there aren't as many opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think about were the big players, you know, like Coke or Newell Rubbermaid. But these people work for, like, a software company or a healthcare company that have international marketing involved with it.
Awesome. Yeah, so there are more opportunities probably than you realize. It's very cool. Any comments or questions for Stacy?
How do you get to that UGA alumni directory? You're a member of the Alumni Association?
No, I'm not a member. Like, I haven't paid any dues or anything. It's kind of part of, like, the dog link thing or...
Okay.
If you just search the career thing, there's a database there of alumni.
All right.
And you can search for particular names or you can search for careers that they're in.
Yep, fields.
And it was a really good, you know, connection to say, like, hey, I found your name in UGA Alumni Directory. I think it made it easier to talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. The echo's back. Let's see if it goes away. This goes for everybody. Remember that your alumni association, where you went to school, can be a really great resource. So that's awesome. Good for you, Stacy. All right. Any more successes or challenges before we move on? Once, going twice. Okay, obviously you guys can bring them up as we go if we need to, too. All right, so last time we did the hare and the squirrel in terms of the hot survey, correct?
Hey, Hallie, I think last time we did the squirrel, but we didn't get to the part where everyone suggested possible jobs. And since I'm a squirrel, I was interested in that aspect and wondering if you could open that up to the group.
Good. Thank you. Okay, so let's finish up squirrel, and then we'll do the other two. All right. So for squirrel, we had talked about implementation. So squirrels tend to be more implementers. They create order. They want to make sure there's a good outcome. They're detail-oriented, all of that, right? They have a high completion rate and follow-through. Okay, and they want to make sure that things are done correctly in the right or best way. So they're really good with being methodical and practical is the way they describe this approach, okay? And so a squirrel might need to complement them a big picture person, somebody who thinks of good ideas, who can stay higher level and give them direction. All right, so based on what we know about squirrel, detail-oriented, implementer, methodical, what do you guys think or good types of jobs for a squirrel, what would you say? Let's come up with some ideas. So what types of jobs would you guys say are good with, like, implementing or require implementing in systems, that kind of stuff? Just blurt, whatever you think.
Maybe an administrative assistant.
Mm-hmm. That's a good example. So, and one of the things, Paul, I said was, like, administrator. So whether it's an administrative assistant or somebody who's administering projects or something like that. That's perfect. Good. What else?
Maybe someone who works with a hare.
Yes.
To kind of counterbalance that person.
Mm-hmm. So somebody who works with this big picture type of person and implements the ideas. So what are some things like that, like works closely with higher level executives, for example, and coordinates projects, you know, things that they're thinking of and want to do. Is that what you're thinking, Alexandra?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of? Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
Mr. Stacy, I can only think about this in, like, my advertising agency world, and it makes me think of a media planner. And a media planner has to do a lot of research using tools to find out what are the best, you know, media outlets for a client. But then they work with other people who are the bigger picture people, but they're able to kind of bring them down to earth and show them actual research and numbers and be able to work with a budget also.
Perfect. Good. So to translate that into any industry, any type of, like, planning or project coordination.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Good. What else? Here's something that I thought of is, like, a quality control type of person, kind of checks and balances kind of person, making sure, like, somebody maybe came up with a system for something or a process and making sure that it makes sense and it'll work. That was an idea I had. I wish that this survey, they're changing it, that it would give you job ideas with it. The other thing was, like, information services, you know, providing information to people. And I thought of, like, a customer service rep type of thing, too. And, Angie, I know none of these specifically are what you're looking at, but look beyond that and what the themes are here. Any other ideas for a squirrel? I think the quality control is where I got that from, the high-quality outcomes, you know, making sure that things are done in the right way. So not just coordinating, but also sort of analyzing and make sure that the system is working correctly. Angie, is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right, any questions on squirrel before we move on? I forgot who else was a squirrel. I thought we had one other person. Did we? I think it might have been Kelly. Okay. All right, so the next two are owl and turtle. Okay, so first, do we have any owls here? No owls.
Well, a hybrid.
What?
A hybrid.
You were a hybrid?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about owl for just a second, because remember, you guys, that everyone is a combination of these to a certain extent. You know, whatever you came up with your results is the majority of your personality type, but everybody's got a little bit of these in them. So, Michael, for you, when you look at the owl, this is being very spontaneous, like jumping onto ideas and going with things, right? That's where the hare comes into play, I think. But also, what's nice about having a little bit of owl in you is that there's this practical side. So you're more able to, like, bring things down to earth and make them tangible and real. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But I think that owl always hinders me. practical side.
How so?
Because I'll have all these lofty ideas that I want to pursue and all that, but then the practical nature of it is you can't do that because of all the gremlins that fall into the, you know, the experience level, the income level, and all that.
Okay. All right. So for you, you need to practice keeping that owl at bay and using it when you need it. So instead of having it be like the owl gets to talk whenever it wants to, okay, that you use that side of yourself when it's time to use it, not to get in the way, but to help you make things happen, promote team objectives, all that stuff that it talks about with an owl. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So that's something you need to keep in mind and think about. It's good awareness for you. Any comments or questions for Michael about the owl? Are you guys cool with moving on to the turtle, or do you want to talk about the owl more? You cool with moving on?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Turtle. Were there any turtles? I don't think we had any turtles, actually. Okay, so let's talk about the turtle for just a second, too. So the turtle is conceptual and methodical. And I think this is kind of funny because the turtle challenges things a lot. So this is the person that says, oh, but wait, oh, but what about this? Have you thought about that? And can drive people that are hares crazy, right, because they're just trying to get their ideas implemented and move on to the next thing. So with turtles, they tend to organize. They question the process. They're methodical, kind of like squirrels. They like to debate and research things. So, you know, kind of makes me think of a lawyer or a systems analyst. And they like environments that have a lot of order and structure to them. And the good thing about turtles is that they'll bring you down to earth, kind of like a squirrel will as well. They'll rein people in a little bit and point out possible challenges with their ideas or things that they need to think about that they hadn't thought about before. So turtles need to be partnered with probably some owls and hares, because turtles, I think, they think about things a lot and they're not as good at implementing either. So not as good with ideas and not as good with implementing. They're focused on challenging things so much. Okay. So I think of lawyers, like a philosopher, you know, like very heady type of things, type of professions, where they're really analyzing things and challenging ideas. Researching could fall under here, too. All right, so any questions on, does anybody think they have any turtle in them? Like a little bit? I don't have any turtle at all in me. I'm hair and I just go with everything without thinking about it. Angie, do you think you're like this a little bit? Kind of going along with being a squirrel?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, say it again.
It seems like some of the qualities are like the squirrel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there might be a little bit there for you. Stacy, I think there might be a little bit there for you because you're good about, like, speaking up and challenging things and thinking about it. Does that make sense?
All right, maybe. Yeah.
I think there's a little bit there, too. All right. So when you guys, first of all, do you have any questions about these personality types? Okay. Do they make sense? Do you feel like, you know, when you got your, you know, whether you're a hare, owl, squirrel, whatever, does it make sense for you? Do you feel like, yeah, this is me, this is my dominant personality type? Just give me a yes or a no.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. All right, good. So how do these affect your careers to consider? So take a look at, if you need to look at your list right now, if you have it in your head, that's fine. So let's just go around the room here briefly and tell me how this affects your careers to consider, like the one big thing that you're like, ooh, I need to reconsider this, or this is validating, or whatever it is. So, Paul, how about you?
Well, when I did the MAP assessment,
yeah.
One of the recurring themes that kept showing up was, for example, number two, recreation, amusement, challenge, risk, competitive. Then they had coaching, consulting, animal training. Okay. So physical, gymnastic, sports. That there's this recurring theme in my top 20 of I want to say, you know, I think of that more as, yeah, I do enjoy sports and I do enjoy, you know, watching baseball or whatever, but I don't know that how it was totally alien to what my career path that I, in terms of the direction that I'm going, which is more, I want to say, intellectually based than.
Right.
Does that make any sense? Though I do love competitive sports and I do love, you know, the challenge. Like when it's at number two is challenge, risk, competitive.
Mm-hmm.
It fell under the category recreation, amusement.
Well, it makes me think of the farming idea that you talked about before, where that's physical labor, you know?
Okay. Sure.
And then what I go to is I think that. Remember that these tests, the MAP assessment, is more about skills and kind of natural inclination, and it's okay if you do that stuff more in your personal life.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that you have to go be an animal trainer. Is that cool?
Sure.
So, because when you, like, it's part of why you're bringing this up, because it started to confuse you a little bit.
It did confuse me, because it made me question, you know, like, wow, maybe I'm not even thinking of the right thing.
Right. Well, so you know what I would say is I would go with what feels right for you in terms of career. Like, maybe there's a little bit of that competitive, you know, ness, and maybe, I don't know, that's the only thing that I really picked up on in terms of career, because the rest to me sounds like stuff that you'd rather do in your personal life, watching sports, you know.
Right.
Training animals, working on the farm, whatever it is. So remember that these tests are limited in that they're not testing for every single thing that you need to think about.
Okay.
So there may be stuff that's underlying it, like the competitive or working together in a team, you know, and maybe a little bit of the coaching, and that's where the teaching could fit nicely, right?
Okay,
working
sure.
with people, so you could kind of look at what's underneath it more.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yep.
That's what I would pull out of what you said. And then the rest, it's so literal, it just belongs in your personal life.
Okay.
Cool, thank you. LaToya, how about you? So either go ahead and speak to the MAP or the HOT survey, either way.
For me, it definitely confirms my writing aspect, because especially within the MAP assessment, the recurring theme was educating and writing and researching, compiling information, and wanting to help others and get them to see the bigger picture and everything. And so it definitely confirms my career to consider of writing and maybe doing a little bit of consulting or image consulting and things of that nature.
So for you, it was validating your ideas?
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool. What personality type were you on the HOT survey?
Hair.
You were hair, so that's big ideas person, having other people implement. So that goes well with the consulting idea too. Okay. Any comments or questions for either LaToya or Paul? I forgot to ask it after Paul. Okay. All right, so Michael, how about you from both of these, the MAP and the HOTS?
Well, the HOT, I just have to worry about my multiple personalities.
Right, and rein them in.
Huh?
And rein them in.
Yeah. I wasn't, like, I was just I work off of three computers, and I think my other one, the map survey I saved to my other computer. But I remember from when I took it that it was, like Paul said, was none of this was where I was gearing to be. You know, I think it called for me to be a lot of medical stuff, like nurse or, you know, in the medical field.
Hmm.
Like what? It was just like nothing was really practical, you know, from what I can remember. I'm going to have to go back home and re-look at it.
Yeah, look at it again.
Wow, this is not offering me nothing.
So go back and look at it again, Michael. Thanks for being honest. And look at what we did with Paul about looking at themes and what's underneath it. Because, listen, guys, this happens all the time with me where somebody will call me and they'll say, I took a career test and I hated every single job idea that it gave me, so it can't be right. And it goes back to where the career tests are helpful, but they don't test for everything. And so to get, you know, if that's the case for you, to get more value out of it, look at what's underneath. Like with nursing, you know, it's helping people. It's not consulting, but it is in a way. Like you're giving them advice. So look at what's underneath. And don't think that just because this is your list that these are careers that are the only fit for you, because it doesn't take into account your interests and what you'd be passionate about, okay? So, Michael, go back and look at it, and if you need my help, let me know.
All right.
Does that make sense, though? Did anybody else here get from their map assessment ideas that just did not sound right? That made it kind of confusing?
All my assessments were good, but the job careers that they gave me almost were like it wasn't even related to my assessment at all.
Yeah. Okay, so, I think it's the same kind of thing here where it's, like, stuff that's not as interesting to you, and you need to look at what's underneath it. This is why, I mean, it's a test. It's not talking to a live person and really figuring out, you know, what they're saying and why they're saying it. So for you, Alexandra, the assessment itself was on, but not the idea.
Oh, yeah, it was right on. So, mine was almost exactly like Latoya's, actually.
Really?
Like, I think they mentioned big picture like 20 times. I was like, all right. And definitely writing is in there. And, yeah, it was right on. And I'm also a hair, so.
Okay. So how does all of this affect the career that you're considering? What did you get out of it?
Probably that I need to do more writing right now and try and implement that into my ideal career. Maybe I need to focus more on that.
Like the grant writing stuff?
Grant writing, or it suggested journalism, which I don't know. That could be interesting, or
it could. It could take you way off track, though, too, so I'd be careful with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, so how can, kind of like, remember when we were all talking about this, and I think it was Stacy was coming up with some ideas, too, about empowering people, empowering women in these countries. Like, is there a way to incorporate writing as part of that? Like, maybe you write, do they have even newspapers? Probably not. But maybe you're writing reports or an article for a U.S. newspaper about the organization or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
That's how I would think about it. I wouldn't go off and try to be a journalist because your current thoughts seem to be more in line with who you are.
Yeah, I don't think journalism is good for me. But the writing part of the journalism, I think, would be good.
To think about.
Not the deadlines and the editors and the changing my words and stuff. I don't like that.
Yeah. So this goes for all of you guys with these tests. Don't let them take you off track. Like, remember your values and your must-have, everything that we've talked about so far. So I don't want you to look at these tests or the map is the one that gives you the career ideas and say, oh, my gosh, I'm totally wrong and off track here. Because you know enough now. You know enough about yourself to solidly say, you know what, I think I am headed in the right direction. You should know, okay, because we've done enough of this self-reflection that takes so much time and effort for you to do, right? This is all the tough homework. So don't let it take you off track, but just use what makes sense to you and feels okay, and think about how you might be able to incorporate it into your current ideas. You see what I'm saying? Don't let it throw you off and, oh, my gosh, I'm supposed to be an animal trainer, you know? Because by now you know, you guys have some really solid ideas about what's going to be a fit for you. And if that does not fit, don't worry about it. Just see what, okay, is there anything in here that would be relevant? And if not, just let it go. Okay, I'm talking a lot. So we've got Stacy and Angie left. So, Stacy, how about you?
I guess kind of it's similar to what everybody else has been saying. I was a hare. I thought I was an owl, but I retook the test because I couldn't really remember. And I was a hare. And I guess also by looking at some of the careers to consider that they gave me, it made me a little bit nervous because it did make me think maybe I'm staying a little too safe, you know, thinking about sticking with the marketing world, you know, maybe that is going to make me sad eventually, just being in that cubicle world and punching out paperwork, because, you know, I got a lot of careers to consider. I mean, it's very me personality-wise, you know, with creative writing or dramatic portrayals, kindergarten teacher, news reporting, creative entertainment. So it's just those seem to be very creative and not your typical office jobs.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking at office jobs, and I'm like, well, maybe I'm just staying at the office job because it's a safe corporate career track. So that's kind of why it made me nervous, and I was like, well, maybe I'm not really expanding my horizons as much as I should be, or going after passionate dreams that don't necessarily lead to a lot of money.
So let me throw this out to the group. What would you guys say to Stacy?
Can I say something?
Yep.
If you focus on what you're passionate about and where your skill set is and your talents are, that I would say is there's always a practical consideration of money, but you can always if you're talented in a certain area, then you should try to explore that, and money being a secondary issue, you can always take a practical position that pays the bills and things like that while you pursue your passion.
Yeah. So, Paul, what are you saying? Focus on passion, would you say?
For the sake of this course, focus on what your talents are and what your passion is, but also understand that, the practical side is that you, just as in my case, I may have to go back and do something I really don't want to do temporarily for maybe the next year or two, while I can pursue what I really want to do.
Right, right. Okay, so Stacy, how's that landing? What do you think? Are you listening to the practical too much?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just a rare case, you know, especially in this group, just that, you know, I have this whole acting thing that I'm trying to do, but there's, you know, you never know when you're going to get an acting job, but it's just, you know, if I look into this international marketing career, and if I do go get my MBA, which I don't know that I would do, but just if, you know, I'm even thinking that trail, it's like really kind of feeling like I'm putting some other not as practical things on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess because I'm a hybrid of a person who I enjoy all different sorts of things. So.
Yeah. So it can make it a little tough. What I would say, too, is that you've got this whole acting thing going on, and that's your passion. And as long as you don't give that up, that you're doing that, then that's fulfilling, you know, a piece of this passion. So you want to make sure you're always doing that and working towards it in some way. And you wouldn't be giving up by getting a marketing job because you're still doing that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the other thing, I lost it. It'll come back. I think that you have to sit with, are you choosing the marketing stuff because it's practical only, or is there some interest in it? Does it sound kind of exciting and creative? And as long as you're still pursuing the acting on the side, is that okay? That could be the way that you put the puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing I'd say is that this is going to unfold a little bit for you. So, because you said MBA, you know, if I go do that. Take it step by step. Talk to these people who work in international marketing. Find out what this is like. Are you stuck in a cubicle all the time or not? You know, find that out. And then as you start learning more about it and starting to pursue that idea, you're going to know, like, yes, I need to go get my MBA because this is actually really, I love this. I'm passionate about it and I'm passionate about acting. Or, no, this is going to be a better job than where I am now, but acting is always going to come first. And that's where I'm going to get my creative outlet, and that's cool. So it's really all about how you put the puzzle together, and know that the puzzle, the path will unfold in front of you as you get more information, too. That's what I really wanted to say. It's hard to know for sure everything up front. You can't. So just take it step by step, too. Okay? Good. Thank you for sharing. All right, Angie, how about you?
I think the assessments have given me some good criteria to try to gauge, like, what kind of role I would play in the career. So I think my careers aren't necessarily unchanged, but I have better guidelines to decide, like, you know, if the work that I'll do in that career, routine, methodical, practical, and making sure that I choose something that's well-suited to those things.
Okay, good. And that feels good for you? Like it's true to who you are?
And I haven't really done that in the past, so I can see where now, you know, that gives me making decisions from a more informed place.
Good. Perfect. Okay, cool. All right. So these two assessments, the information that you got from these, and this is for everybody, the information that you got from these, you can put pieces of those, take, you know, the different information and put them in the different places in the model. Like, and the map can point to some of your talents. It could point to some things that you enjoy doing as well. But what we're focusing on here for our next session and for homework is looking at the culture and environment portion of the model. And one of your homework assignments for today was to start to fill that in based on what you've learned about your personality, okay? So you've got, let me think of how I want to set this up. You've got a week to start to think about your ideal work environment, okay? So what I'd like you guys to do is, did everyone get the wheel that I sent to you yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. So take a look at that, and you'll see that. Here, let me actually get it out so I make sure I've got what you have. So you'll see that the wheel is broken up into different aspects of work environment, okay? So your assignment for next week is with your buddy. Start to fill out these different sections of the ideal work environment. So, for example, how do your career values, go back to your career values, and how will those affect your ideal work environment in terms of the physical space, in terms of the people you're with, whatever it is, okay? And look at physical space, people, culture, et cetera, all of these different pieces. From what you know now, from your HOT survey and MAP assessment, start to fill this in. What's going to be ideal for you? Okay, what's your role going to be? What kind of tasks and responsibilities are best for you? If you're a hare, it's big picture stuff, ideas. If you're a squirrel, it's more procedures and systems that you're working on. Does that make sense? Any questions on the homework? I think the easiest way, if you can fit everything in the wheel, you can do it there. Otherwise, you can write it on a separate piece of paper, okay? So fill in this wheel, and we're going to talk about this more next time, Okay. And I'd like to do a visualization with you guys, just a quick one to help you fill this in as well when we talk next week. And then the second piece of homework is to start to think about the salary, the compensation portion of the model, salary and benefits that you want. So we're going to start to talk about, you know, how do you guys know how much you need to live on every month? What's your minimum salary? What's your ideal? And what kind of benefits do you want? Do you want to have flex time? Do you want to work in a place that gives you lots of opportunity for growth or lots of educational opportunities, whatever it is? So just start to think about that, but focus on the wheel the most for next time, okay? All right, so what's the biggest thing you guys are taking away from today? Let's just go around the room real quick. So, Angie, start with you. What would you say?
I'm going to look more closely at different job titles for the kind of roles that are practical and methodical.
Okay, good. Awesome. Alexandra.
Let's see. Definitely improving my writing skills and incorporating that into the job. And also, I guess, it says, you know, that I don't retain detail at all and that I look at the big picture. I always thought that that's because my memory sucked and it was a weakness, but maybe I need to rethink that and to refocus and definitely make sure that I'm not going into a detailed-oriented job and that I can work with my weaknesses and, you know, maybe relook at that a little bit instead of just looking at it as a negative part,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's just something you're not as good at, and you've got all these other strengths, so focus on those.
Right.
And make sure that you've got people around you that help you with that other part. Good. That's perfect. All right, Stacey, how about you?
I don't know. I'm just kind of looking forward to my next informative interviews with these people working in international marketing and just kind of seeing where that goes. And that's what's going on.
Cool. Good. I'll be curious to hear what you learned, too. Michael, how about you?
I guess I would say looking through the underlying meanings of like different assessment things.
Okay. Awesome. And LaToya?
Networking.
What about it?
Oh, that I need to try to start doing it.
Doing more of it.
Because I'm hearing a lot of, you know, good responses from others on the call with their networking.
Yeah. Okay, good. Awesome. And Paul, how about you?
Just because the test says I should be an animal trainer doesn't necessarily mean.
I know, totally. I love it. Yeah, so don't let it freak you out. God, it's hysterical that it says that. I can't believe it. I mean, I've heard some crazy ones, and that's one of the more out there ones that I've heard. Oh, God. Okay, so as always, if you guys need help, let me know. I'm here. Paul, let us know about your job and any other big successes or wins. And we will talk next week, same time, same station. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.